نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون، أما بعد. Verily all praise is due to Allah. We seek His forgiveness, we seek His assistance, and we seek refuge in Him from the evil of our action and the evil of our soul. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whoever Allah allows to stray, no one can guide. I testify surely there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, alone without partner, and that Muhammad is His messenger and His servant. Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, fear Allah as you should be feared, and do not die except as Muslims. And to proceed, our subject today, we're continuing with our extensive study of the commentary on the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi. We are still reviewing the very comprehensive and detailed hadith of Jibreel, which is the second hadith. And we have focused already on the pillars of Islam, and we're going through the pillars of Iman at this point in time. And we are actually getting close to finishing the pillars of Iman. We have maybe two more days today and the next day, inshallah, to finish that subject. So today we come to the issue of the last day. As Jibreel alayhi salam, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked him, he said, and tell me about Iman. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Iman is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and to believe in the divine decree, the good and the evil thereof. We are now focused on the last day. In the last lesson, we covered the aspect of the angels, the revealed books, and the messengers. Were there any questions before we start? Any questions in regards to last week's subject?
No questions.
No questions, inshallah. All right. So we begin with the last day, and the verse that we commonly recite, which is part of Khutbah al-Hajjah, which is what we start most of the lectures with here, where we recite the verse of Surah Ali Imran, where Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. This is a very pertinent verse for us to look at, starting with the last day, where Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, He says, O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die except as Muslims. And so this is an important aspect that should always make us focus on the goal. And the goal here is the hereafter. That is the domain of eternity, and that is what we're striving to achieve, inshallah. And so Allah puts it into great perspective here for us to remember that we need to be working to make sure that our last minute, our last moment of life is on Islam. It is in the worship of Allah. It is on the Sharia of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is what we have to always be focused on. So we cannot slip even for a moment. So don't. You should always remember when you're committing any act or about to perform any act that this might be your last act. And we want to, inshallah, make the seal of our deeds to be the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the last day is called such because there will be no new day after it, as the people of paradise will be in their new life forever, as will the people of the hellfire will be in their new life. And among its other names that are mentioned in the Quran is Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of resurrection, al-Haqqah, the reality, the event, the day of judgment, the overwhelming event. So many names in the Quran are given to this great day because it's such an enormous day. And just from the study of linguistics, we can look at one important point, is when something is essential or something is very important to a nation or to a community or a group of people, they oftentimes have many different names to describe it because they're continually focused on this point. And so whenever you see something that's mentioned by a large variety of names, it is something that's very important or something that people really, highly prioritize in their life. And so you see Allah is doing the exact same thing in the Quran. This is the sunnah of this is the way people behave and they understand and they act. And Allah, Azza wa Jalla, the one that created us, He understands this. And so what does he do? He puts the priorities, he makes them with so many different names. Look, example, Allah's names. So many of Allah's names, 99 names of Allah mentioned in the Quran. And we look, for example, here, the Day of Judgment. So many different names mentioned for the Day of Judgment, which should make us focus on it. And so if you want to understand what I'm trying to say, look, for example, in the English culture or the American culture here. What we see is, for example, the word money. Money for these people and for many people in the world, unfortunately, is a high priority in their life. It's a much higher priority than Allah and the last day and anything related to morality and religion and focusing on your hereafter, right? And so they have many different names. So you got cash, you got credit, you got mullah, you got dough, you got, all the different names that you can possibly think of. Same thing goes with drugs, with alcohol. These are the things that these people like to, get involved in. So drugs have a huge number of names. That you look, for example, at the word marijuana and the different, connotations that people add to the word marijuana. They have sort of like 20 different names for it because this is something these people are focused on. So Allah here is showing us that our focus seems to be this last day. And so He gives us so many different names to remember it by, to think about it by. So it's not only the last day, it's the day that we will be judged, the day that our actions will be weighed out. It's the overwhelming event because it will overwhelm every human being. It is the reality because everything will be realistic and clear without any veiling on that day. And this is what is so important about it. It is the greatest day that mankind will ever pass through, and it is the gravest and most fearful day. A person's new life will be decided on that day. It will mark a new beginning for each and every soul, and this may lead to the eternal happiness or the punishment in the hellfire. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, concerning this enormous event, he wanted us to think about it much. And this is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, "Akthiru bihadhi min ladhat," that you should remember often the destroyer of pleasure. And the destroyer of pleasure is death, because when death comes, it destroys everything that you have. You will not have anything left. And so focus on the things that you will take with you, which is your good deeds. Don't focus so much on this world. Don't focus so much on the gathering of money and property and wealth and whatnot, because you will leave it. And so many times people, they gathered for this life and they did not even have the chance to enjoy it because death came and intervened, and it was their inheritors that took their money. And this is the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam concerning when he asked the Sahaba concerning this point, that which kind of money do you like best? The money that you can keep or the money that your inheritors will use? And everyone said, "Oh, Rasulullah, for sure, we all like the money that we can use." And so he cautioned them against this, because the only money that you're going to use, the only money that's going to benefit you, is that which you put forward fi sabilillah. Belief in the last day, of course, implies belief in everything that the Quran and the Prophet ﷺ have stated about the events of that day and thereafter. There are some general aspects, for example, like the resurrection itself, judgment and reward, paradise and the hellfire, that every Muslim should be aware of and believe in with certainty. There are also more detailed aspects that the Quran and the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned. The more knowledge that one has about this day and the events that surround it, the greater this effect will have on his belief. So it is highly recommended for each Muslim to learn about the events that occur prior to the Day of Judgment so that they can prepare for it. And just as an aside, my mother was recently here visiting, and one of her friends happened to call her, and she said, "Oh, subhanAllah, I just got a very nice set of tapes, and it is concerning the events of the Day of Judgment. There's an Arabic lecture by Dr. Tariq Sweden, a very famous lecture. It's called Qasat al-Akhir, I think it's called. Basically, it's the story of the hereafter, or basically what the stages that a human being will pass through following beginning with their death." And she was shocked, and it immediately straightened her out. She said, "Oh my God, this is unbelievable. So it's such a scary thing. Oh my God, I have to." And so one starts immediately thinking about preparing for it. If you know, for example, that you're going to be faced with something very critical like this, then you would prepare for it. And so this is what's so important about us having knowledge of this. And subhanAllah, this is what the kuffar are always striving to do, is to block your remembrance of this, to block your thoughts about this, and even to cause mischief and deception in regards to this whole idea. And so the whole idea about the big white light that everybody sees when they die, and they walk into the big white light, and it's peaceful and it's nice, and everybody goes to heaven, even the dogs go to heaven, right? And subhanAllah, they minimize the concept of this, and this is what we have to be very careful of in this society, which is something we're going to mention, inshallah, a little bit in the future, when we get to the section of the hellfire and paradise. As recorded in Sahih Muslim, before the Day of Judgment and the destruction of the earth, Allah will send a wind that is softer than silk. It will come from Yemen. It will take the souls of the believers, and the events of the earth will be lived. The actual Day of Judgment will only be lived by the worst of people, as has mentioned in the Hadith. From this study, we have the study of the signs of the Day of Judgment, very famous book in English, which I recommend that everybody has a chance to read. It's called The Signs Before the Day of Judgment, collected by Ibn Kathir. It's a very, very small book. I think it's only 90 pages. It's full of knowledge, mashallah, that I recommend highly that everybody read. There is a website. I think if you do a search on Google or something, you're going to find the Tafsir, or the authentication of the Hadith by Al-Bani, by Imam Al-Bani, rahimahullah. So you will find, he actually categorizes every single Hadith in that book of Ibn Kathir as to which one is authentic and which one is good and which one is weak or fabricated. And so this is an excellent book for everyone to read, inshallah. If you don't have it, I strongly recommend you buy it. It's like maybe $8-$9. It's a very, very important purchase for all of us to have and to study. And so it basically discusses some of the signs that are mentioned here, which I don't think we're going to have too much time to delve into in depth. But basically, we begin with the blowing of the horn. Israfil, alayhi salam, the angel that Allah has commissioned, with blowing of the horn. Allah has set him in preparation, and his lips are on the horn, and he is prepared for Allah's command. And as soon as Allah gives that command, he will blow into his horn, and all that is on the earth and in the heaven, they will die except those whom Allah wills. And Allah says concerning this in Surah Az-Zumar, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ونفخ في الصور فصعق من في السماوات ومن في الأرض إلا من شاء الله. And the trumpet will be blown, and all who are in the heavens and all who are on the earth will swoon away except the one whom Allah wills. And concerning this matter, some of the people of knowledge have spoken concerning the feelings of the angel of death in this matter, because this is going to be the first time that the angel of death, Malakul Maut, will actually experience the death, because he has been giving death and he has seen the agony and the grief on the people when he has to take their souls, and so now he will have to experience it as well. He will have to experience that emotion and that feeling or that experience by himself, as all will perish except the ones whom Allah wills, and Allah alone knows who that will be. And this is Allah will be alone in the heavens and the earth. And he will ask on that day, as has been recorded, where are the kings of the earth today? You know, all these people who were arrogant and who oppressed people and they felt themselves to be powerful in the land, where are they today? You know, if they had any power, where are they today? Because everyone's dead. Okay, and Allah, the King of the Kings, Azza wa Jal, he will be alone on that day and asking this question, of course, and who will answer him? Because Allah will show his dominion over the heavens and the earth on that day. Whatever of atomic weapons that they have, or helicopters or nuclear submarines or whatever they want to, you know, boast about, that will be shown on that day, that there is nothing compared to the power of Allah and to the determination and the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this earth and the heaven will then be destroyed, and after a period of 40, it does not know whether it is 40 hours, days, or years, a second horn will be blown, the horn will be blown on a second time, and the people will be resurrected. And of course, Allah will first will give the life back to Israfil alayhi salam so that he can do that. and the horn will be blown, and Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says in Surah Yasin, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ونفخ في الصور فإذا هم من الأجداث إلى ربهم ينسلون قالوا يا ويلنا من بعثنا من مرقدنا هذا ما وعد الرحمن وصدق المرسلون. And the trumpet will be blown the second time, and behold, from the graves they will come out, they will rush out to their Lord. They will say, woe to us, who has raised us up from this place of our sleep? It will be said to them, this is what the most merciful Allah has promised, and the messengers have spoken the truth to you when they promised you this aspect. And so the people will then gather for their judgment. And according to Ibn Taymiyyah, the belief in the last day encompasses three aspects. First is the belief in the resurrection. After the second blowing of the horn, the people will be resurrected in front of Allah. They will be naked, barefoot, and uncircumcised, as Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُهُ وَعْدًا عَلَيْنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ. Allah says in Surah Al-Anbiya, as we began the first creation, we shall repeat it. It is a promise binding on us. Truly we shall do it. And to understand the seriousness and the weight of that day, Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when she heard this verse, she said, O Rasulullah, from her great modesty, Aisha's modesty as Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha, that she asked Rasulullah, she said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, won't the people look at each other that day? Because if we're all going to be coming naked, will not the men look at the women? And she was shy. She said, I don't want anyone to look at me. And he said, on that day, the horror of the people will be so much, nobody is going to be concerned about anything except his own hide at that point, his own self. He will not be concerned about anything except his own self on that day. Because of the horror of that day, it's a serious day. You're seeing the hellfire being brought in front of you. As Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said that the 70,000 angels will drag forth, will bring forward the hellfire on 70,000 chains, I'm sorry, and every chain will have 70,000 angels on it dragging it forward. And so the people will look forward and they will see the hellfire. And the sun will be as if it is very close to them. So the people will be sweating. And some people will be sweating up to their knees, others up to their waist, others up to their chest, and so on and so forth. And this is from the seriousness of that day. This is an extraordinarily serious day. It's not a laughing matter. It's not, sitting under the cabana, drinking iced tea and checking out the girls and the guys. This is something very serious. And so people are not going to be checking each other out. They're going to be worried about what's going to happen to them as they look to the hellfire. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, you should all know that you will be faced with a day. You will one day speak to your Lord, to Allah Azza wa Jalla, without a translator. And you will look to your right, and you will look to your left, and you will see nothing but the hellfire. So save yourself from that day, even if it be with half of a date in charity. This is a serious, serious aspect. And this is the importance also of the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all concerning the seven people who will be shaded in the shade of Allah on the day when there is no shade except the shade of Allah. And that is the day of judgment. The day when there is no shade except the shade of Allah, that is the day of judgment. And so there will be a class of people, seven categories of people that will be shaded on that day, men and women, inshallah. And of course, inshallah, I hope you know this hadith. Who can mention, who can tell me some of the people who will be shaded by Allah? Let me hear your knowledge, inshallah. Remind me, I forgot.
Somebody wrote a just ruler.
Alhamdulillah. Imam al-Adl, that's the first category. And this, by the way, doesn't have to be a king or a president or dictator or whatever, okay? It can be any kind of anybody who is given the authority over something, and he discharges that authority with justice. Inshallah. May Allah make us from those from that category. What's the other categories?
Give your answers, guys. A person who spends his time in the remembrance of Allah.
I don't remember that one specifically. Close.
By going to the mosque.
Yes, another category is the one whose heart is attached to the masjid. And while you're thinking of the rest of them, I'll tell you something about the person whose heart is attached to the Mesha, the four. The two categories you've mentioned now, these are the two categories that the scholars have mentioned, that they said these are probably only for men, because the women are not naturally given the position of imamah, number one, and secondly, the women are not commanded or obligated to go to the masjid. And so, but so the man whose heart is attached to the masjid, this is the one who is constantly wanting to go to the masjid. When he is gone from the masjid, his heart is in the masjid. He's waiting, his heart is longing for the next time that he returns to the worship of Allah in the house of Allah. Not like what you see today, unfortunately, that the people inside the masjid, they're looking for any of the next second that they can get out. And so they want to, even in the salah, they're thinking about their business, and they're thinking about, you know, their parking place, and they're thinking about what they're going to eat for dinner. These people are the opposite. They're the ones who, when they're outside in the workplace, they're thinking about, inshallah, when they're going to go back to the masjid, when they're going to go back to the worship of Allah. What are the categories? The five other categories, and
a man
by men and women.
Rejects a woman who is trying to fornicate with him because he fears Allah.
Alhamdulillah, very good. And this is not just, inshallah, from what I have read of the commentary of this hadith, it's not just for the men, but it's for anyone who rejects the seduction. And so although the hadith itself mentions a man who rejects a woman who is wealthy and seductive, who tries to seduce him, he pushes her away, saying, I fear Allah. And so it can also be that a woman can try to be seduced by a man who is powerful and wealthy, and she pushes him away for the fear of Allah. Inshallah. Wallahu a'lam. What other categories? You got three, four more. I'll help you out. Something that we all should know.
Two people who love each other for the sake of Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Any two people that love each other for the sake of Allah, they don't love each other for the sake of business or for the benefit they're going to get from each other, or because he works at, he works at this shop and he's going to give me a discount. They love him for the sake of Allah. The other one I was mentioning was shabun nasha fi ibadatillah. Okay, this is something we all should know, because I believe, based on my limited knowledge of the community here, is that we all fit in this category. Shabun nasha fi ibadatillah is a young person who grows up in the worship of Allah. And the young person here, a shab, is actually, we can say youth is often the word that's used to translate, but we're not talking about, you know, a 12-year-old here or a 15-year-old. A shabab is a term that's used in the Arabic, which applies to the person after he reaches puberty, all the way up until approximately, we can say, maybe the age of 35 or so, okay? And so this is a wide range, okay? So we're talking almost about, let's say, 20 years. You know, say you can be 14, 15 years old, all the way up to 35. And so this is definitely, inshallah, I think that the majority of us are in this age group, alhamdulillah. So you have the opportunity to be part of this class, this category. So instead of using our time to go out like the other people around us who want to go out and say, hey, man, you're young, you're going to have fun, you're not going to live again, all this kind of culture, and they go out and they think that, you know, they're going to live it up and whatnot. The other people who are using their energy, instead of their youthful energy and their strength and their health, instead of using it to go and get drunk and do drugs and fornicate and dance and go to nightclubs and what these people do, what they're using it, they're using their strength and their power and their health, alhamdulillah, fi sabilillah, to work on the spreading of the da'wah and to work on memorizing the Quran and to work on praying late at night and to work on, you know, providing for the ummah and for those that have the ability to make jihad fi sabilillah. They're using their youth for this ability. And this is shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillah. The other category, just for the sake of time, is the one who gives charity with his right hand so secretly that his left hand doesn't know. This is the guy that someone comes up to him and says, please help me, and he puts his hand in his pocket, or the woman who puts her hand in her pocket, and she takes out whatever is in it. She doesn't even know what's in it. Or he doesn't even know what's in his hand. He just gives it to him. So the right hand is the only thing he knew because it touched it. But no one, nothing else knows. Okay, so we got Imamun Adl, Shabu Nasha fi Ibadatillah. We have the person whose heart is attached to the masjid. We have the people that love each other for the sake of Allah. We have the one who refuted the woman or the man that seduced him for the sake of Allah. We have the charity. And the last category is the eye that sheds a tear from the fear of Allah. Okay, these are the seven categories, if I'm not mistaken. Wallahu alam. And so we ask Allah to make us from these seven categories, because on that day they will be shaded in the shade of Allah. And we ask Allah to be among them, inshaAllah. And so, continuing, Ibn Uthaymeen, he mentions on the resurrection, he says the resurrection is going to be in the same body that the person had in the worldly life. He pointed out the wisdom and importance of this. If it was a new creation, like for example, the Christians say that when you're resurrected, you're just going to be a spirit. You're not going to be your body. Your body is going to pass away. Whereas Allah has refuted this 100% in the Quran when he mentioned that the resurrection of the body. And so Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says, if it was a new creation, it would mean that the body that performed the sins in this world would be safe from any punishment. To come with a new body, or with no body at all, like the Christians say, and have that body punished goes against what is justice, and Allah is just. Hence, the text and the rational argument indicate that the person resurrected is not a new creation, but a return of the old creation. He also points out that Allah has the ability to recreate the bodies even after they have disintegrated, as has been mentioned numerous times in the Quran. And humans may not be able to understand how exactly this is possible, like so many other aspects that humans cannot grasp, but Allah has stated it, and the believer knows full well that it is true and well within Allah's ability to do so, as Allah has mentioned that He is the one that created us the first time. So why do you, He created us the first time from nothing. So why do you think it's going to be so hard for Allah to recreate you from something? You know, because the kuffar used to always say, how will these bones and dust, they will be go back into a body? How can Allah make them once again into our bodies? And so Allah mentioned, He said, you know, He created you the first time from nothing. Do you think now he's got some substance to use? He's not going to be able to do it? SubhanAllah. The second aspect in this belief is the belief in the accounting or reckoning of the deeds and the reward and punishment for these deeds. This aspect is mentioned and stressed in numerous places in the Quran. Here are a couple of examples. So Allah says in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّ إِلَيْنَا إِيَابَهُمْ ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا حِسَابَهُمْ. Verily to us will be their return, and then verily upon us will be their reckoning. Now Allah says in Surah Al-Anbiya, and we shall set up the balances of justice on the day of resurrection, that none will be dealt with unjustly in anything, and if it was even the weight of a mustard seed, we will bring it forward, and sufficient are we as those who reckon. So Allah has made it clear that all the deeds will be weighed on the day of judgment, and Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, in Surah Al-A'raf, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والوزن يومئذ الحق فمن ثقلت موازينه فأولئك هم المفلحون ومن خفت موازينه فأولئك الذين خسروا أنفسهم بما كانوا بآياتنا يظلمون. And the weighing on that day will be the true weighing. So as for those whose scale of good deeds will be heavy, they will be the successful ones. And as for those whose scale will be light, they are those who will lose their own self because they denied and rejected our signs. And of course, the related question to this is the question that people may ask. They say, well, how will our actions be weighed? Actions are, you know, what are they? They're just ideas, and I mean, they're weightless things. I mean, you do something, how can you weigh that action? And of course, this is again from the inability of the human being to grasp it, but Allah has said it without doubt, and that He will measure it. And his deed, and each deed will weigh exactly what is truly worth according to Allah's scale, Azza wa Jalla. One should always recall that the reward Allah gives to His servants is an act of mercy, as He rewards them more than what their deeds actually entail. However, Allah's punishment is out of His justice, and He does not punish anyone more than what he deserves to be punished. So His punishment is exact, and His reward out of His mercy is of course, always more than what we really deserve. The third essential aspect of the belief in the last day is belief in the heaven and hell. Heaven is the eternal abode or reward for the believers, while hell is the eternal abode of punishment for the disbelievers. The stronger opinion is that both are in existence at the present time, and they shall both exist forever. They are not simply states of mind, as some non-Muslims and some few heretical Muslims believe. Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mention of them and described them clearly and in unequivocal terms. This is absolutely no room for any Muslim to deny their existence or their description. And so at this time, it's time for me to pray Maghrib, and so I'm going to pray Maghrib, inshallah, and if it's acceptable, inshallah, we will continue the class in about 10 minutes. finish our discussion of the hellfire in heaven and the aspect of the punishment of the grave. Inshallah. Is there any questions at this time before I pray?
Any questions? None.
Okay, inshallah. Then in 10 minutes, sir, we'll call you back and we'll continue, inshallah.
Okay. No
problem. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullah. Okay, guys, what did he say? Because, you know, I couldn't hear him hardly at all.